Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. What a wonderful Tuesday it's been, hanging out with Adam Amin, play-by-play man for your team. Bulls, NFL, Bears, Major League Baseball, he's got it. And then we just chatted with Spiegel and Holmes that are coming up at the top of the hour. That was fun. Handshake talk. Bad handshakes are worse than bad hugs.
I feel like bad handshakes are worse than bad hugs. I don't know if it
is. I do too, because a hug is still effort and you're still willing to press your body against somebody else's for a certain amount of time.
No,
you don't do that with a bad handshake.
That's fair.
Bad handshake,
you can get out
like
of
maybe
a bad
you get
handshake.
My fingertips.
You get out of a bad handshake relatively easily compared
to
a bad hug.
Here's why
I
think the bad hug is worse than the bad handshake. Because if you're hugging someone, there's already supposed to be a baseline level of comfort. So it's more disappointing because, like, bro, I thought. Like, if somebody you know, like, you're hugging them. And a handshake, it could be just a complete stranger who just sucks.
A hug can just be, like, a time of day, though. Bad handshake indicates, like, leadership skills to me.
Here's what it is. Bad hug is sad. Bad handshake is gross.
Okay. You know what? I'll follow you on that one.
Bad hug, sad. Bad handshake, gross.
Adam and I were cringing at the palm down.
You're like, oh, hey, good to meet you, man.
Clammed.
And just kind of,
what's happening?
Slowly
there?
Flailing a fingertip at you. Nobody wants that.
Nobody. Okay, I hate to break this up because it's such good talk, but there's a question that is plaguing the midday show, especially one Robbie Triano. But it really has been a shared topic of ours.
Okay.
What do you think's going to happen with Josh Giddey?
I mean, I'm as in the dark as anybody who's tuning into this. I still feel like he'll end up in Chicago. It'll probably be for a relatively friendly price, I think. Here's the thing. I think Josh Giddey could get $30 million from a team in the NBA. I don't know if it's going to be a team he wants to play for, and I think that's the other thing you have to take into consideration. Are you willing to, and mind you, this is Giddey's second contract, right? He's pretty much finished up his first deal. Everybody talks about the second contract because this is the life-changing money. No matter what he makes, who among us in this room or anybody who's listening is going to count between $20 and $30 million for us a year if you're going to make it for 4 years? Who cares? It's generational wealth automatically. So you're playing for the third contract. If you play in a place where you feel like you can do more, let's just keep it selfish. Have better numbers. Put up better stats. Be in a bigger leadership role. Whatever it may be that makes you more attractive to your next job, like think about it for any of us who have had to be in a career and then thought, all right, well, I want to do this well so that the next time I'm up for a job, my resume looks even that much better. I think that's kind of the thinking along those lines. So is it going to be a potentially $40 million, maybe $30 million, maybe $20 million pay cut, whatever it's going to be over the lifetime of a 4-year deal? It'll be less than that over a 3-year. But if it's a somewhere between a $20 and $40 million pay cut, you're already getting the generational wealth. If you can think for the future, and I think Josh Giddey has a very bright future. He's 22. He's one of the captains of the Boomers, one of the up-and-coming international programs in world basketball, and you're going to be in a high-level market playing probably decent basketball. You would hope he would still put up some of the numbers that he was putting up in those last 20 to 25 games, which he's certainly capable of doing. You're playing for the long haul. So I'm playing as Josh Giddey's agent. This is what I would be telling him. Don't go to a franchise that might pay you 28, but you're going to lose more games than you will in Chicago. You have more of a trajectory upwards playing in the East than you do in the West. You have a better shot of being in the playoffs right now if you're in the East.
True.
And you have a better shot of playing in the playoffs or the play-in or having some form of a chance in Chicago rather than Charlotte, Washington, if you end up going to Portland, if you're in New Orleans, if you're in, name a franchise out West that you haven't really thought about a whole lot in the last 6 months, you have a better shot of doing good things here.
Sacramento.
I mean, the Bulls West, as we've come to know it.
I mean,
like, you have a better shot of doing what you want for the long haul of your career here compared to somebody else. So somewhere else. So Robbie, that's my answer.
I
think he ends up here. I think if he ends up here for 24, 26, you feel pretty good about that. You at least have your starting point guard for the next 3 or 4 seasons and you walk away happy.
Because here's the thing. Like we said, Bull season is coming at you.
It's a month away from preseason. Like, it's legitimately like 4 weeks away from preseason games will be on, you know, the Score at some point, you know?
October 7th is the first preseason game on the schedule, like on the Bulls schedule. I don't have the broadcast schedule in front of me, but yeah, man, it's here.
Josh Giddey turns 23 on October 10th, so yeah. 3 days later. So to your point, Adam, if he was going to get the big money that he wants, like whether it's 150 or whatever, that time has passed because he's a restricted free agent, meaning any team could have figured out a way to make room for him by making trades, whatever. They did not. He has not signed an
offer
sheet. Golden
State didn't go through with this Kuminga thing that seemingly was rumored for a while. And again, the franchises that possibly could pay you that money, is that going to be a better situation than what you have right now?
The Bulls are doing the right thing for them. I applaud the Bulls doing the right thing for the organization.
Patrick Williams.
I also think, though, if you're Jonathan Kuminga, my word.
What do I have to do to get out of here? Like, this is Costanza dragging the World Series trophy out in the parking lot and just being like, fire me now, boys! And the Lacombe family's just like, hey, isn't that Jonathan Kuminga a quirky dude? Let's hang on to him for as long as possible.
His situation is not that unlike what Giddey's situation was in Oklahoma City, knowing that you're not a fit for what they're trying to do. But for Kuminga, it's like you could be here and score points as part of our second unit, basically, because you don't fit with Steph and Draymond and Jimmy Butler. And I think you're right. This situation tailored for him to, I don't know, average a triple-double.
Sure.
Like that's, and that can get him money in that next contract.
If he averages a triple double, man.
Look at his numbers post All-Star break.
Yeah.
And you'll see what I'm talking about.
To be a 12-10-10 guy, like, is a valuable commodity in the NBA. I'm like, this is what people thought Ben Simmons was going to be, and he never really got to that point outside of maybe a year or two. And I think, again, do I think Josh Giddey's as good of a defender as Ben Simmons was? No, but that's, hopefully there's some room for growth there using, you know, the abilities and size that he has. I just feel like if you're playing for the long haul, you're playing for, if you're an NBA player now, you want to eventually become a $200 to $300 million player, right? That means you're the elite of the elite, and you've made the money that the highest level, essentially outside of the top tiers of the LeBrons who are going to be billionaires and Steph Curry's of the world, like outside of that, like you're talking about elite level money. So if that's your long-term goal, if I'm just talking as an, again, I'm kind of taking the point of an agent here, yeah, where we're just thinking about dollars and cents based off of the talent that my client seemingly has shown. Like, if you're playing for the long haul to be $150, $200 million player in 10 years, you're on the trajectory for it. Like, the commodities that, like, the skills you have are the commodity right now. Like, people need rebounding from the guard position in a more fluid, positionless league. Like, more 6'7", 6'8 players have to be able to rebound against guys who are 6'10", 6'11", and Giddey does that at a pretty high level. You need offensive initiators. You know, he is one of those. And how many of those do you really see? There's half the teams in this league maybe have a guy that they really feel good about. A third of the teams in this league have a guy that they would go to war with. Mm-hmm. So I think Giddey could be one of those guys. Yeah, would it be good if he was a 16 or 17 point a night guy? Yeah, sure, maybe. But he's not Russell Westbrook. He's a different kind of player, and I think he's the type of player that you're going to have that skill set in one or two players. To have it in one is a convenience. I think that's the type of player you need to be a competitive team in the NBA as it continues to get more fluid, more positionless in terms of size and personnel.
I can't wait to see how this ends. I'll just tell you, post All-Star break last year, 21.2 points per game, 10.7 rebounds per game, 9.3 assists per game, win or lose. And they did win more games than they lost after the All-Star break. Giddey's got a place.
He's
somewhere.
A goat. Yeah. Giddey's the goat. Giddey.
See, this is where it goes.
Robbie.
He's my goat.
That was such a I was born in 2002 mentality, Robbie. Come on.
He also has a Detroit Pistons t-shirt on right now. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, Robbie's a little emotionally all over the place with his sports choices.
Well,
because
the Pistons were good again this year, man. The Pistons were
fun. I'm trying
to
transition to become a Chicago sports fan, though. And the Bulls, I think, are the team I'm going to like the most.
The Pistons had too much talent to do what they did in the season where they lost that massive losing streak. Like that was
to go from one to that a year ago to being like, I mean, I think the NBA is just kind of nutty right now with coaches. I think it's a Billy Donovan conversation as well. Like, I don't think Billy Donovan's the problem with the Bulls. I don't think that the players are the problem. I think there's a lot of issues that kind of don't fall under the people that we have a tendency to blame, which are usually players and coaches. And I can understand that. But good coaching in this league is hard to come by. And
gently.
I think J.B. Bickerstaff got let go kind of unceremoniously in Cleveland. And I know they were the number one seed. They still got bounced. So in the second round. So I look at what J.B. Bickerstaff did in Detroit, and to take a young team and kind of get him to believe the same way he did in Cleveland, I think that's a big deal. Like, that's still hard to come by, and I think at his best, like, if you can say the best thing about Billy Donovan, that's probably the thing that you can lean towards, is his ability to get the most out of younger players the way some of these franchises that are starting to get back on the come up, the way that they've done. I think Rick Carlisle has done a wonderful job of that over the last handful of years now in Indiana. Bickerstaff, as we mentioned, I think, you know, like, that's why the Thibodeau firing in New York is so head scratching, because good coaching, tactical NBA coaching, is hard to come by.
I also think it's that the level overall is so high that you can't afford, as a coach, the pressure's on you so much to have either, you can't have like a slumping year, and you can't have like an even slightly slumping approach. Like, first time they were in the conference finals in 25 years. It's just unacceptable.
It seems
pro Tibbs, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, again, I know I'm coming from a place of, like, I think Tibbs is a really good NBA coach.
You're not
coach.
Alone in that thought.
You know, like, Spoelstra is a really good NBA coach, and the team fluctuates, but for the most part, there's a level of consistency that you always see. And a lot of that has to do with the guy on the sideline.
Adam, thank you for addressing all of our sports thoughts.
This is the best I can do.
Especially,
all right?
Don't come at
me in a month and a half when I'm wrong on all of this stuff. I just know I'm
gonna
do it. It's fine. No.
And if you missed the Bears talk, that was in our 1 p.m. segment. We got a text about it. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app. Go to that rewind feature. Adam Amin, thank you so much.
You guys
Thanks
are awesome.
So much,
I love
Adam.
You guys. Appreciate you.
And we'll make sure to publicize his next DJ gig when it comes. We will transition with Spiegel and Holmes next on The Score.